Would sniffing us? Would sniffing us at all?
I mean, her tail is wagging. I mean, I think she just, she's friendly. Her tail is wagging.
Oh, okay.
Don't put your hands inside.
No.
Let her smell.
Seems happier.
Yeah, she's fine. Her tail is wagging. Her hackles aren't up, you know, so she's fine. She just wants your attention.
Oh, she's got it. Yeah.
The other one, Vashti, she, her hackles were up. You know, she was scared.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, well,
that's
I know
a good dog.
That's hair at the tail?
Kind of like at the back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like down here. Near. That sort of thing.
Right.
When you see it raised up, and the tail kind of goes up like that, almost like a scorpion.
Totally.
That can be a sign that, you know, I don't like you. I'm a little fearful.
Mm-hmm. It's a really beautiful facility, too. They've got everything they need.
Oh, so Wait till you see next what I'm going to show you. So this is the breeding program. Down below is the adult dog training program, which is separate. Mm-hmm. And that's for any particular breed. So this is just for, this building was built just for the breeding program.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, most kennels probably wouldn't have this.
I think you had warned us that because they're bitches in Eden, it's
the adult dog training program, also true, we try not to mix monks working in both programs because they can actually possibly, you know, transfer, you know, anything from one, if there's something going on down there health-wise, we don't want those monks up here. And it's the same thing. I don't go down to the kennel down below. You know, so it's, we try to keep that kind of separation. We try to keep the...
So it's the same with the people that socialize the puppies. They're isolated, they're separate for similar reasons, and they're also specialized in doing socialization.
We try to keep the puppies section over there. We would never put puppies over here.
Oh, right.
So, all right, let's go on outside.
Okay.
Now, before I go in, I'm just going to tell you, because once we go in there, it's going to be very noisy. What we're going into now is just basically an exercise pen that the monks built, and it's the only purpose of it is just for the dogs to get exercise during the day. Usually around 9 o'clock or so, the monk brings his dogs over to the exercise pen, and they're there during the day, and then around 4 o'clock or so, the monk comes back over, gets them, and brings them back in the house for the night.
I see.
Summertime,
yeah,
and also wind chill in the wintertime. So in the summertime, the air comes up and then it comes over. So it helps to keep them cool. You're a handsome boy. Yes, you are.
Oh, this is good.
Glasses, don't you? Yes, you're a handsome boy.
Well, so attractive looking. Really.
The dogs?
Yeah.
Yep. German Shepherds, they're beautiful.
They really are.
They're beautiful dogs. Like I said before, sometimes we can have like 36 puppies, you know, here at one time.
Yeah.
Sometimes it gets very busy. So you can, you know, this is really a farm, But people don't see cows and, you know, sheep and all that, although the monks used to do that years ago, have cows and sheep and I think goats and all that sort of thing. But it's still a farm. It's just that the animals that we deal with are dogs, German shepherds.
Absolutely. How many adults do you have here, would you estimate, or adults and grown puppies?
I would say probably, you know, it can be anywhere from 12 to 16.
Sure.
We have a few dogs that are out in the community in homes.
Of course, yeah.
You know, the nuns have a couple of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's hard to give it an exact count.
Yeah.
So that's it, guys.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really impressive. Thanks for letting us check it out.
Yeah.
I remember a lot more German shepherds when I was a kid. Are there a lot still in the country, like, owned by people?
I would say German shepherds are a pretty popular breed.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, I think the collie... I understand probably the collie is a... what's the breed? Not the collie. The German shepherd is not the most popular now.
Uh-huh.
Golden retriever.
Oh, retrievers, yes.
I think the golden retriever is probably the most popular breed. But the German shepherd is up there.
Yeah.
When we were... In Europe, we saw a lot of really big shepherds.
Yeah.
Like the kinds we saw there.
So the dogs, they have different training programs? Or is they all have various stages in life where they're involved in the basic obedience and things like that?
Well,
or what's the general rundown as soon as they're sort of a year or two old?
Well, if we take it, there's two things. We could get an adult dog from Germany. That's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then every once in a while, we'll keep one of the puppies for the breeding program.
Of course.
And then someone like Brother Luke or some of the other monks would take the puppy and train the puppy, you know, that sort of thing.
But only if they're going to be living with him.
Right. Well, all of the dogs should be trained, you know, to be, obedient, you know, be able to live in the monastery like a house pet.
With basic stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a process.
Sure.
And, you know, sometimes we use the e-collar. You know, some monks don't.
Yep.
But it's, you know, the dog is at night is in the monk's room, the monk's cell. And, you know, I'm responsible for Raja. If, you know, when it comes time for her to have puppies, I'm in there helping to deliver the puppies.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing.
So, where is Raja?
Sure. Raja is over in that kennel.
Okay.
The exercise pen.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's our issues.
Yeah. See, today we groomed, so I wanted her to be groomed, so I left her over there.
Yeah, yeah.
So I groomed her. And I'm having a little, we're having a little separation, you know, day to day.
Oh, no.
Which is good. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They look beautiful, and it's a really impressive facility.
Yeah, so. They are. They're great dogs. They're great dogs. Well, guys. That's it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At 5 o'clock, we'll have services. If you're going to tape anything, tape the bells.
Absolutely.
Are the bells the same at 5 o'clock as at 7:15? Or it seems like it was more at 7:15.
It depends probably who's ringing them. And in the tradition is in the Orthodox Church, they ring a pattern instead of ringing a hymn. You know, that sort of thing. So when the bells are rung, you might be hearing more of a pattern of bells ringing. Some monks are better ringing the bells than others. But bells were all given to the monastery from different places, some parishes, some churches that closed or another parish had an extra set of bells. So all of these bells were given to the monastery. I don't think we paid for anything for, you know, any of the bells.
How do you ring bells?
They're just basically on string, on ropes, and you just, you know, in a few, it if you looked inside, they're just, you just pull them like that.
Oh, so they're attached at the bottom and it's just simply like a cord.
Yeah. I mean, you can open the door and you can look inside, you know, that sort of thing.
Okay.
And they're just, or some of them have foot pedals so that if there's one monk, he'll be hitting the pedal and ringing a bell, and then he's doing, you know, pulling cords, you know. But the whole thing is a pattern of bells.
Wow.
And in a funeral, it is the highest pitch bell that we ring, whereas normally think when you have a funeral or someone has died, it's the bass bell, the heavy, the biggest bell that is rung, you know, that gives a low tone. In the Orthodox Church, it's the highest pitch bell that is rung.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
How long does it take to learn how to ring the bells?
You figure out a pattern and you just go with it.
Oh, really? Yeah. So they're sort of whatever pattern you...
It's whatever pattern that you want in your head to ring. I'm sure there might be, you know, some patterns that are well known, but... I don't do that. Whenever I've had to ring the bells, I just pick out a pattern in my head and start ringing the bells. That's all.
That's amazing.
Can you recognize who's playing?
Yeah. Some people are better. Some monks are better than others. Yeah, you can. You can pretty much tell whether it's Brother Luke or someone else. Yeah, Brother Luke is pretty good at ringing the bells.
So those are the bells of New Skeet,
yes.
as recorded by us.
Yeah,
we actually waited for the bells to start, and it was kind of cool. But what do you think of the dogs?
Dogs are cool. It's very familiar for me to hear a lot of those sounds.
Yeah, of course. I should point this out. We're sorry for the distorted dog barking, but it was so loud in there, and it was just so hectic. There was no way to really look at levels and adjust them, so it was a little bit distorted. But that's what happens. It was distorted in our ears too. They were that loud.
It's ongoing, too. It was very, very loud, and it's an ongoing experiment. We're definitely always looking at our production quality, and we promise in the future we'll have very, very good audio, and we're always building and trying to do our best.
But what do you think of New Skeet in general? It was, like, very different for me. I wasn't sure what to expect driving all the way up to upstate New York to visit a monastery where German shepherds are being raised. That's a lot of material that I'm unfamiliar with.
Well, I was impressed. Looking back, as I hear that, it was wintry, it was cold, and in my head, my idealized concept of who they were is much different than now I have an impression and actually a relationship, like something to reference, whereas before it was all sort of my imagination of who they were and what was going on there. So I think going forward, I feel very cool about that. Like, wow, you know, we made some good friends, and...
We could go back. They want us to come back.
Because you fixed their AV system while you're out there, and apparently it's broken again, so they need you anyway to go back up there and fix it.
Yeah,
so it's a kind of good relationship to have with a bunch of monks in upstate New York to be able to go up there and fix their AV and visit some dogs and things like that. What more could you want?
Yeah, they sent us an email, so we've got good communication with them, and I'm sure we'll visit again.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. And it was really cool. We didn't capture this on tape because it was mostly a personal type of a thing. We just sat around the dining room table talking to them about various things. We don't like to be intrusive when we record people.
And it's about building that relationship anyway.
Exactly, yeah.
You don't want to go in, you know, and just wham, bam, and then see ya never again kind of thing.
Yeah. But, I mean, we brought you one monk at least, and we talked to him for a bit, and that was Brother Gregory.
Yes.
Who was very courteous, very nice to us.
Helped coordinate everything.
Yeah. He runs the gift shop, in fact, too,
yes.
And we bought a lot of interesting things there.
Yes, yes.
But it was an eye-opener, a life-changer for me, really, because I'd never been to a monastery before, and it was so peaceful and calm and just really a place to get your head together.
Yeah, I liked being included in the concept of a retreat and having it go the way we want it, you know, our type of retreat. It wasn't like we were there with a bunch of other people, and you know, and I think a lot of that instructed how they perceived us, and different kind of just the mood was very much influenced by who we are. And it was kind of a fun time to hang out with the guys up there, and like going on the hike, even that was really fun.
We got lost
in the winter,
yes,
and just it was one of those experiences.
I don't think we mentioned that on this particular recording, that we actually went up the mountain on a hike.
They've got a pretty huge property there.
Yeah.
And
we're following trail markers, but the trail markers stopped after a while, and we were on top of this mountain. We didn't know where we were. And thank God for the sound of dogs barking, because that's what led us back to where they are. Otherwise, we would have been wandering around out there for quite a while. And it was fun, though. It was fun.
Yeah.
We went early in the morning so that if we did get lost, we'd have the whole day to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so interesting, and it's a just a retreat. It's these interesting kind of people that have chosen this life and this path. And for me, just the context of being around dogs when I was growing up, it was just very familiar, and it felt
right.
Like I felt like I belonged, and that we were able to kind of have that time for ourselves and take away something from it, and kind of being a bit of an excitement for around the monastery for the weekend. And I think our understanding of Greek Orthodoxy,
yes,
has changed. We see that now in different places. And
so Greek Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox, yeah, I'm not sure myself, but yeah, it's
yeah, I don't know, it's
all
the
kind where the cross has,
right,
a little diagonal thing on the bottom.
Yes.
And that's for Christ's feet.
Got it.
I looked that up on Wikipedia.
Oh, it's to hold him up. Yeah.
If he was actually on the cross, it's kind of morbid, actually, but if he was actually on the cross, he would need a place to put his feet to rest. I guess they just thought of
before
things.
They nail it in, yeah.
I'm not sure exactly how it works, but the cross, that's how you recognize an Orthodox church, is that the cross has it also has an extra little notch on the top, too. Maybe that's for his head or something like that. So it's got two horizontal lines on the top, and then a diagonal line towards the bottom.
Right.
So that's the Orthodox cross.
So this is a very cool introduction to that that vocation and that faith.
And the prayers, yeah, I've seen the prayers. That was really inspirational.
Just, yeah, and being able to participate and be a part of Mass. And essentially, I mean, your average person might think, well, wow, it was just like this big performance for us, but we were a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't maybe know the words, but we accepted the ritual and just sort of opened ourselves. And really, it's just a moment of quiet and reflecting on the world and having that moment with a bunch of other guys or other people.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really neat to participate in the Masses. And we were good. We were never really late. And
I was never late.
We were punctual. Yeah, I might have been late once.
You had to run down the hallway once when they were giving a prayer for a meal, which I didn't even know they were going to do.
Yes.
I just saw them gathering and said, Kyle, you better get a move on here. And they were launching into it.
That's right. I was late for one of the prayers.
And there's a bunch of little rituals that are after the meal. They say something to they give some kind of prayer after dinner. That one got me by surprise, because it was like that the stroke, as soon as someone put down their fork, that was it, you know.
Yep. I thought it was based on whether you finish, but it was based on the time. I wasn't watching a clock or anything.
Yeah, well, we didn't know that. And then of course the prayer is at I think 7:15 in the morning.
Yes.
And and then at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, is that
Vespers and Matin?
Yeah, yeah.
Vespers is in the morning and Matins is at night.
And we were good at getting it right and knowing when things were and being there. And you know, it's you just have to respect all that and learn from it.
So yeah, I'd do it again. I'd look forward to seeing them and also visiting other monasteries too, comparing.
Yeah,
you know, it's.
I'm sure we will. I'm sure we see them often when we travel, and I think it'll be a much more familiar sight to us.
So. Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, this happened actually in March. It's kind of confusing because we're recording this now in July. We're about to leave for Europe throughout the month of the remainder of July and August, but you're listening to this in late August, and we're going to be back next week from the European trip that we have not yet left on when we recorded this.
That's interesting.
Is that all clear to everybody?
No, I think that's very easy to understand.
But everybody, what you just heard took place in March.
Yes, all right, and it was still very cold. It was just the beginnings of spring, mm-hmm. and yeah, it was a very cool trip. So off we go to more stuff. And
you'll probably hear that next year sometime.
Yes.
It's just we can't be live and on tape at the same time, so you gotta you know, pick which one you want. You want us in the studio, you want us to be playing recorded stuff.
There are occasions for all these things. Maybe we'll do a bit of both in the future.
Yes, absolutely. All right, Kyle, it's been fun. Looking forward to the next adventure.
Absolutely. On to it.
My dog's better than your dog. My dog's better than yours. My dog's better 'cause he gets kennel ration. My dog's better than yours. My dog's bigger than your dog. My dog's smarter than yours. My dog's better 'cause he gets kennel ration. My dog's better than yours.
This concludes our two-part feature on the Monks of Newskeet here on Off the Wall. And don't worry about our closing theme being a commercial. You won't find Kennel Ration on any shelves anymore. You can write to us, otw@2600.com. Until next week, when Kyle and I will be back live in the studios, this is Emmanuel for Off the Wall. Have a good night.
My dog's better than your dog. My dog's better than yours. My dog's better 'cause he gets Kennel Ration. My dog's better than yours.
Hey kids, you're with Finn on Finn's Revolution until 9 p.m. right here on WUSB Stony Brook. We've had an action-packed evening tonight. We're going to be talking to singer-activist David Rovix, and we're also going to be talking to Brett Shiras about the Pay to Get Out Festival over at Cinema Arts Center in Huntington this Saturday night. And just in a moment, we have Michelle Carolla from Spark Boom who'll be joining us, along with various band members that will be performing this weekend in Huntington. Stay tuned. That's right, kids. We're here till 9 p.m. on WUSB Stony Brook. This is Finn, Finn's Revolution. And we're going to get right into it tonight because we have a whole bunch of stuff to get to. And very excited about some events happening this coming weekend in Huntington. And we're lucky enough to have a representative of the Spark Boom group, Michelle Carolla, with us. Michelle, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I am wonderful. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. And when we say us, it's yourself. It's a member of Echo Sonic, a member of Motion Ocean. And who else do we have with us?
We have Raj here, who is going. He's part of Echo Sonic's management team.
And Raj is filming us all, so we can catch this later on the tube, no doubt. Michelle, you got some really cool stuff happening this weekend. First of all, tell us a little about Spark Boom, which of course is this kind of organization that is promoted by the Huntington Arts Council, and tell us how it all got started and what's going on and how you're involved.
Okay, so Spark Boom is a really cool, it's really like an arts initiative that started back in August. It was a thought. We were trying to figure out how can we start helping young artists and musicians out here on the island, because often there's not enough opportunities and events and things that take place out here, and most of us have to go to the city or get our start in Brooklyn. So a bunch of nonprofits got together in August in 2012 and said, what can we do to make things happen for young artists and musicians? And this is sort of how Spark Boom happened. Fast forward, we had our kickoff in April. Mm-hmm. And it's been moving really fast, and we've had some really awesome events. We had a Boom in the Barn that happened in May, which was a jazz event. We just have finished a dead walk with zombies, and and we actually Brett Sherris actually did he had his monster festival. That
well, I believe he is with a zombie, actually.
Yeah, he totally is. So we did that, and we've had about six or seven events, and Off the Walls is actually going to be a huge block party, which we're really excited about.
Okay, now naturally, the show that was on just before this was called Off the Walls, so there we have it. The radio show just before this. So Off the Walls block party happening this weekend. And where is it all happening, Michelle?
It's happening at 213 Main Street at the Huntington Arts Council in the back of our parking lot. And this is going to be crazy for Long Island. We have three world-renowned graffiti artists. We have Sonic, who's the godfather of graffiti. Mm-hmm. He started back in the late 70s. I mean, he was the guy who started the New York style. I mean, going on, you know, the subway systems. I mean, and we have him. He's actually going to be transforming live in front of everyone's faces, like one of our building walls.
And he'll be doing this legally, right, Michelle?
Yeah, of course. Okay. Of course. Sure, why not? And then we have Fetus, who's a Long Island native, also pretty well-known graffiti artist. He's also going to be doing a second wall, transforming our building. And then we have Moss Paws, who's a little bit new on the scene, which I guess everybody out here doesn't know too much about him. He's originally from D.C., and he actually grew up in Colombia, and his name means more peace, and he's actually going to be doing a mural also for the event. And, of course, we got it's all about the music. So we got four Long Island bands, Echo Sonic, Motion Ocean, Barbaric Yap, and Dan and James are going to be playing throughout the whole event. And we have 40-plus art vendors. And it's important to say that these art vendors are all local. They all make jewelry, handmade crafts, paintings, anything you can think of, and you can come there and actually purchase and meet them and look at their stuff.
Very, very cool. And I have to say that the bands themselves are extremely diverse, and I would assume the artists are as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was really important that we kind of, for Off the Walls, give a taste of what Long Island has to offer, which we know there's so much arts and culture out here that we really want to start making this more present so people know what's going on.
Okay. So this is almost the one-year anniversary, or this is the one-year anniversary?
Well, I mean, we've really started. It started in April.
Right, but I mean, the idea started last August, right?
Yeah, the idea started last August, and okay. From an idea, it just really just blossomed into this amazing initiative that really has taken full speed ahead. So
now I know you had the big event back in April where you know, all the galleries were open and all these different things in Huntington, different venues. How was that received? What I saw about it seemed like there was a great turnout.
It was huge. We had for an opening with a new initiative, we had almost 300 350 people attend, which was huge.
Wow.
And the biggest compliment we had was people coming in like, wow, this feels like New York City. And we're like, this is Long Island. This is cool because this stuff happens out here.
Right.
So it's really important that Spark Boom is really for people or for kids, really. Like, if you're in school and I was there, you're not sure what you're going to do with your art, your visual art, your music. And if you need a platform to just start networking or meeting people or just getting your work out there, this is really what this is made for. So we're trying to foster everybody from 18 to 40 years old. And of course, all the events are open to everybody of all ages, but it's really to start helping promote yourself if you're a young musician, artist of any form, to start getting involved with Spark Boom.
Very cool. And before we go into any more details, how can people find out more about it? And we'll mention that a few times. But what's the website?
Okay, well, you can actually, it is a project of the Huntington Arts Council, so that's important. So you can go to the huntingtonartscouncil.org. We also have sparkboom.org you can go to, and we have a really active Facebook page, so it's Sparkboom LI. Go to the Facebook page. We have a lot of active people. We're posting things constantly on there that you can kind of keep up, and you can keep up with the events. You know, we have a blog, which is really great. So the blog kind of also helps with just writing articles about what's happening out on the scene. So we really kind of go into, you know, the bar scenes. We really kind of really search out what's happening. We go everywhere. So we have a lot of young writers who want to get involved, maybe make this a career in the future. If you're into music, into art, we actually have a couple people from Stony Brook here in the art department that are writing about a lot of young artists in the art history department that actually write for our blog as well. So you want to become involved, just shoot us an email, let us know. We're working with everybody that you can think of. So.
Okay, so everybody can link to that through sparkboom.org or the Huntington Arts Council, right?
Correct. Right.
Okay, very good. All right, so let's talk about some of the art that's going to be there. Is there that you know of? Because I'm sure there's a lot of people. Have you seen all of the art?
Well,
or the artists?
Well, a lot of the art that's going to be there, it's been through an open call. So
okay.
They've just basically apply through a link, and anyone could apply regardless of age. And it's all different kinds of art vendors. We do have this Steve Zielinski is actually going to be showing. He's an older artist who's a really cool guy. He's going to be doing the Sphere of Hope, which is this interactive massive sphere that he does performance, and he's actually engages you as an audience. You can go into the sphere, which is, when I say sphere, I really mean it's like a 8-foot ball, a metal steel ball that you can actually roll up and down the parking lot with him. And he plays a harmonica, and it's going to be really fun.
Rolling in a ball, going up and down with a harmonica. That takes me back to my youth, but none of the real things were actually involved. okay, so we also have some great, great bands, obviously, playing, as we just discussed. Would you like to introduce anybody who's currently here from one of the bands?
Andrew?
Okay, sure. So Andrew. He's from Motion Ocean.
Hey, I'm Andrew.
Hi, Andrew. Andrew, we were talking earlier when you first arrived. You're a ukulele player, right?
Yes, I am.
An instrument, one of the instruments I still have myself, but I'm sure nowhere near as good as you are. But tell us how Motion Ocean got together.
We've, just like Spark Boom, we've only been around for about a year. I would say last summer, the idea came about in May or June. We started playing together in July or August.
Okay.
And yeah, I got a ukulele one day. I just felt super creative with it. I started writing songs, which I've never done. And I made 5 or 6 songs. We recorded an EP, and it all just snowballed from there. We've been playing shows.
Were you a guitar player first?
I was not. I was actually a drummer.
There you go. You went from drumming to ukulele. Yeah. Well, it is a very percussive
I was just going
to
say that, yeah. There's a lot you can do with that.
That's right. Okay. So, There's a website for you guys too, right? There's a SoundCloud and a website?
MotionOceanMusic.com.
Okay. I think we're going to hear a little something
from,
if I can pull it up here, from Dots in the Sky from you guys. Let's give it a listen.
All right.
If we can pull it up.
I appeared one day on this island. Think one day that I'd be smiling, but now that you are here, I must keep you near. Oh, and I'm glad you feel the same way. With dots in the sky, stars burst and come shooting by.
Andrew, great stuff.
Thank you, thank you.
Who else is in the band with you?
My little brother, Nicholas.
It sounds like you're emphasizing my little brother, Nicholas.
Yeah, he does drum duties. My buddy, Anthony, plays bass. My girl, Stephanie, she sings and plays percussion. And my buddy, Kevin, plays keyboards.
Okay. All right, very cool. Very nice. So it sounds like you're having a lot of fun. And do you record at home or do you...
No, we recorded with a buddy of mine. He has a studio, but we're looking to get a professional one. We might have stuff booked for hopefully early October.
Okay, it sounds very pro now, so...
Thank you.
Sounds absolutely great.
Thank you.
So, yeah, Motion Ocean is one of the bands that will be there this Saturday in Huntington between 2 and 6 p.m., over at 213 Main Street. Now, what parking lot is that again, Michelle?
It's going to be behind the Huntington Arts Council, so it's a lower parking lot. It's going to fill up the entire parking lot, actually. We're closing it down. It's pretty big. So you'll be able to see live graffiti painting. And I emphasize the word live. They're all painting right there on spot. You get to meet these guys. These guys are iconic. It's pretty amazing that they're even coming out to the island. Often they travel all throughout Europe, so just to have them out here is pretty amazing. So you get to see that. And of course, the bands are really great, and they're going to be playing the whole time through, 2 to 6. It's going to be, it's really, we have 15 minutes between changing sets. So we're like, it's really live music the whole time. And also all the vendors you get to kind of meet and greet also as well. So
very, very, very cool. Now, we have somebody else here from Echo Sonic, right?
TJ. Yep.
TJ.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm not doing too bad.
Okay. Thanks for joining us down here.
Thanks so much for having us.
Of course. Tell us a little about Echo Sonic.
We're a group we formed about 5 years ago now, 2008. It includes myself. I play guitars. My buddy Steve plays bass. We have Alex playing drums and Aaron on vocals. So it's a four-piece, and... you know, we got our first EP out there a couple years ago. It's called Killer Daydream. You know, it's on iTunes. You can find it pretty much anywhere, bandcamp.com. Yeah, we're in the process right now of coming out with a full-length record, and it should be out later this fall.
Oh, great.
So it's something to look forward to for sure.
Great. Where are you recording? Any place locally? Or
yeah, actually.
Where are you from?
Well, I'm from Smithtown, so okay. Right down the road over here.
That's right.
We're actually, we're real good friends with all the people, good people down at REI, Recording
okay.
Engineers Institute.
Yep.
So they've helped us a lot, and, couldn't be more happy with the situation.
Gotta love friends, right?
Absolutely.
That's right.
Especially friends that believe in you.
That's right. Exactly correct. All right. So I think we're going to hear a little something from Echo Sonic right now. This is right off their Bandcamp site, which we'll discuss momentarily about more information about Echo Sonic. But this song is called Sunny Ray Addiction.
That's
right. Right here on WUSB Stony Brook.
Life is but a dream. Some are set to black. It's never what it seems. I hope you keep your kind. Life is but a dream. Some are set to black. It's never what it seems. I hope you keep your kind. Through all the plans that we make that never occur. I find myself in August trying to be insured. The next summer will be better. That's the obvious. Hanging out with your friends, making broken promises. Sounding like politics, getting each other gassed. And at last, as the summer come, we see it come to pass. Ready for our change while we're chilling in the shade. Now I know you can relate, so there's no need to debate. The same thing that you love is the thing you probably hate. Since you could call it slut, it's the one you probably date. So why talk about all these illusions when we never seen through like a New Year's resolution? Life is but a dream. Summer such a blast. It's never what it seems. I hope you keep your kind. Keep living from the words to explain it, Pierre. Disappointment I received through memories and herbs. Life is but a dream. Summer such a blast. It's never what it seems. I hope you keep your kind. In this circus we call life, we always search for what is right. What is dark and what is light. But it seems like everything is so bright. When I think of summertime, maybe it's just in my mind. Life is but a dream. Summer's such a blur. It's never what it seems. I hope you keep your care. This shit is so absurd. Every best is the next. And even though we know it isn't, we settle for less. Why are we obsessed with the rising sun? It's like the first tie. We're searching for that one. But it never comes. It never returns. So while the scheme burns, I think we have to learn that summer's just a myth. A seasonal glitch. The sunny-ray addiction. You can't resist the itch. Life is but a dream. Summer's such a blur. It's never what it seems. I hope you keep your care. Can't even find the words to explain it pure. Disappointment I received through memories and herbs. Life is but a dream. Summer such a blur. It's never what it seems. I hope you keep your care. In this circus we call life, we always search for what is right. What is dark and what is light. But it seems like everything is so bright. When I think of summertime, maybe it's just in my mind.
TJ, nice work on that tune there. Nice guitar playing.
Thank you.
Echo Sonic, and let's just go back briefly, and where can people find out more about Echo Sonic?
You can find us on our website, echosoniclibs.com, on Facebook, facebook.com/echosoniclibs.
Okay.
They could get in touch with us directly, echosoniclives@gmail.com.
So. That's a lot of Echosonics. And but Echosomic Lives.com will get
it. It gives it some movement, you know?
That's right. Very good. Very cool, cool sound. And you guys will also be playing. Is there a running order, Michelle, for the bands that people might want to know about? Or can they find out from the website or what?
We haven't posted yet on the website. But, yeah, Motion Ocean's opening up. Echosonic will be closing the event. And in between we have Barbaric Yap and then Dan and James.
Okay, got it. Okay. And back to Andrew just briefly. What do we... Where can we find out more information about Motion Ocean? Or did I ask you that already?
You may have asked me, but I can
but
say it again.
But you can easily say it again.
MotionOceanMusic.com. We're on Facebook, Facebook.com/MotionOceanMusic. We have a YouTube, YouTube/MotionOceanMusic. Motion Ocean Music all around. Just search Motion Ocean Music. You'll find us.
Very good. Motion Ocean Music. Spelled correctly all the way through. Motion and
yes,
Ocean.
Yes, it must be spelled correctly.
That's right. Okay, very good. So, Michelle, when this particular event was getting together, when you were trying to get this together, how many people does it take? I mean, this involves, you know, the Arts Council, et cetera. How many people are involved in actually recruiting the bands and getting it all together?
Actually, not as many as you think. You're probably talking to her.
Well, that's what I figured I might.
Well, you know, the Arts Council, it's pretty amazing because the Huntington Arts Council, it's a staff of six. And if you don't know anything about the Arts Council, they do a lot of things. They put on the concerts in Heckscher Park, 40 nights of concerts every summer.
And the movies, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. We also had to do a huge education program. We run a grants department, which is what I do also, besides putting on events. The grants are for emerging artists and organizations throughout Long Island. So if you're a young artist out there, look me up. Give me a
All right, so hold on a second. So you're in charge of the grants program for the Huntington Arts Center?
That's correct.
So in other words, you like give away money to bands?
We could. If you guys want to do the paperwork, yeah. And hence I say the word paperwork, as I know everybody's afraid of. But we have a deadline. We're actually the New York Council on the Arts, which everybody should know about, NISCA. They fund arts throughout all of New York. It's really important. So part of my job is actually to go out there and meet a lot of young artists and organizations, nonprofits, and tell you about this opportunity. It's free money. You just have to apply. You have to make sure that you get your stuff in time for deadlines. And usually deadlines come in October, November, once a year. So
people interested in this can also go to the Huntington Arts Council.
Right, huntingtonartscouncil.org, and you can send me an email, give me a call, I'll talk to you. Or if you have a suggestion about art project that you don't know, you need advice about, I'm the person to talk to also.
Okay.
So we do that as well. Besides putting on off the walls, of course, we have help. A lot of volunteers have helped. I don't know everything about what's going on out there, so I have a lot of friends that help. We have a lot of volunteers that tell me, like, what's going on in the music scene, what's going on in the art scene, because there's a lot of emerging underground artists and musicians that are hanging out on spots that I want to know about. So people tell me about where to go and who I should know and meet. So if you know somebody, let us know. Spark Boom's all about finding those people.
Okay. Okay, so great. Everyone can get in touch with that now. How long have you been involved, actually, with the Huntington Arts Council, Michelle?
It will be November. Will be 2 years. I'm pretty young at the Arts Council. I'm personally an artist myself, so I understand how the arts work. I know what everyone's going through, so I can relate to you in that way too. So I really can relate to artists and musicians in a way I think maybe other grants coordinators, other people prior into my position might not be able to. So I know exactly what they're feeling. So I've been there, been around.
Okay, and I don't mean to pry here, but what kind of art do you do?
I'm an installation artist. I make large public work and sculptures.
Okay, very cool. Very, very cool. All right, so I think we're going to get somebody on the line right now who's also performing. And who are we calling?
It's going to be Dan from Dan and James.
Okay. I didn't think we were calling Dan and James on one line, but it's possible. You never know.
You never know, James.
That's right. So we're going to hear a little something from Dan and James while we dial them up right here on WUSB. Stony Brook says, stay tuned. We're going to hear from Dan and or James momentarily. Well, maybe we will be briefly hesitating here while we attempt to navigate the site. Don't want that. There we go. Dan and James right here on WUSB Stony Brook. They're robbing a bank.
I got a letter from the bank telling me they're gonna take everything I make. I think I'm bound to break. I got a message for them all. This time it's gonna fall. We're gonna rob the bank. Gang as you and me, we're shaking up the tree. Tonight we're gonna see what dollars really mean. I got a message for them all, but this time it's gonna fall. We're gonna rob the bank. Kick open the doors, face down on the floor. Up the vault, you know it's everybody's fault. 10-foot stacks of green, everything I need. I got a message for them all. Well, this time it's gonna fall. We're gonna rob the bank. With a fistful of mice, guilt's all it will find, but the sun will always rise. I got a message for them all. This time it's gonna fall. We're gonna rob the bank. I got a message for them all. This time it's gonna fall. We're gonna rob.
Yeah, that's Dan and James robbing a bank right there. Rob a bank. And we're lucky enough right now, along with other participants in the Spark Boom event this week, Off the Walls, to have Dan of Dan and James on the phone. Dan, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm very, very good, and happy to have you on the air. Great, great tune there, Rob the Bank.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Tell us a little about what you guys do, how you got together, and whatever you want to tell us about Dan and James.
Well, basically, James and I, who's also here, we met.
Oh, hi, James.
Hi, guys. we met through the open mic circuit that was happening around New York, the city area, and Long Island, and we're both songwriters, so we got together, we started writing some tunes, and it just kind of started from there. The rest is history. You know, we just love playing music. We love having fun. We like pushing the original aspect of it, and we're just going to continue doing it as long as it remains fun, and it has been.
Okay, is there a full band, or is it just you two guys, or what goes on?
It depends. For this event on Saturday, it's going to be a full band.
Okay.
You know, rock quartet kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But depending on the place, depending on the environment, it could just be James and I with two acoustic guitars, and
sometimes it can be a 12-piece band, you know? I mean,
you never know.
It can be pretty crazy.
Right.
So you're flexible as to whatever occurs, right?
Exactly.
Cool. Very good. Very good. Where'd you record this this album that we just listened to?
Oh, Rob the Bank was recorded in Brooklyn. We're at Vinegar Hill Studios. Vinegar Hill Studios in Brooklyn. Great little place over there. They got a nice live room. Beautiful grand piano.
Dumbo, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, Dumbo. Vinegar Hill, Dumbo, the Vinegar Hill, Dumbo, Brooklyn area. Really nice studio over there. You get a good deal with Justin. And So we recorded that song in little plug.
4 hours.
3-4 hours. And it was done. We were in and out of that studio in 3 hours.
Time is money.
That's right. Efficiency is a nice thing in a studio.
Absolutely.
I hear you. So are you guys working on anything new now, or what's going on?
For the most part, we're gearing up for the Free Folk Fest with the New York City Marathon. That's coming up, and we're, you know, we got about 18 acts going to be on the bill with that. We're, you know, hosting the whole show, so that's kind of, you know, that's kind of a, you know, the big thing we're working on. You know, trying to make sure that we don't drop the ball for the marathon.
And where is that going to be?
At the New York City Marathon in Brooklyn, Broadway and Bedford Avenue. We're going to be, you know, holding down the fort while the runners run by, you know, entertaining the crowd as everybody you know, passes by.
Very cool, very cool. So you guys are involved, obviously, in the Spark Boom thing happening off the walls this Saturday in Huntington, mm-hmm. and you'll be performing with a full band, as you said.
Yes.
But it's how'd you get involved with Spark Boom?
Well, actually, through
Carrie. It was Carrie. Our friend Carrie, we recorded a song, Your Kiss. And she was a vocalist, and she was a vocalist on the track, and I guess her friend is one of the organizers, and
yeah.
They were looking for an original band. A band backed out or something, and you know, we got the call, so we said, sure, why not? It was original, and you know, once we heard about Spark Boom and you know how they're really supporting the original, you know, music movement, we figured, you know, yeah, let's get behind this.
And all the art and artists that are going to be there, and the fact that it's going to be live graffiti artists sort of painting the walls as we play, we just thought that would be a really romantic and awesome kind of thing to be a part of. And the fact that they are pushing original is just, was a no-brainer for us.
Very cool, very cool. Where are you guys from?
We're from the border of Nassau and Queens, Belrose Floral Park area.
Okay. Both of you, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, both, you know, suburbanites, I guess.
Suburban boys.
Very cool, very cool. So now you're going to be playing in Huntington, which is a very, very cool thing, and it seems like the Huntington Arts Council has gotten together an absolutely great event over there for the Off the Walls Block Party. Should be very exciting. And where else are you guys playing?
We just play around always, you know. I'd say about maybe once a week we hit up a new open mic. Also, depending on you know, the material. Like usually when we write a new song, we like to workshop it at open mics and see how it's received. And so that, you know, it all depends on what new material is coming through and how ambitious we are for the week. But I would say on average we play one open mic a week.
Okay, how can people find out more about you guys?
You can go check us out online. Just type in your Google search engine, Dan and James, and you know you'll find a whole slew of free music and videos and all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff for free online these days. That's one thing about the you know, the musical landscape these days. We're able to just disseminate so much information that you could never do this. You know, 10 or 15 years ago, you couldn't show a song to 1,000 people this fast. You know, without the use of, you know, radio or anything. But now, you know, just anybody in their bedroom can reach 1,000 people. It's amazing what
it really
you can
is.
Do.
Yeah,
it is. It is. Okay, so yeah, you guys have a great site that's up there, and people can just pull the tunes right off of it, and it's just a you guys do very exciting, very cool music.
Thank you.
And we're very much looking forward to your performance this Saturday.
Awesome.
At the Off the Walls Block Party, my friend.
Yes.
Dan and James, thanks so much for joining us in WUSB Stony Brook.
Thanks so much for having us. Yeah.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
So, yeah, Dan and James, and an exciting tune there, Rob the Bank, and looking forward to their performance, too. Now, the only band we don't have represented right here is Barbaric Yawp.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Are
they too barbaric to be on the radio?
No, they just came back from Europe. So they're getting ready for Off the Walls on August 24th. They just came back. Otherwise, they would love to join us.
Okay, that's fine. Well, we'll grab some of them a little later. We'll play a little bit. What else do I mean, we're all psyched for this particular show, this particular event. And what's the weather supposed to be like on Saturday? I hate to ask a question like that, but
it's going to be sunny because I said so. So
that's
yeah.
Right, sunny, clear, and loud.
Yes, yeah, definitely, yeah. We're all saying it's going to be sunny because we all need it to be sunny and awesome.
Very cool, very cool. TJ and Andrew and Raj and Michelle, thank you so much for joining us. For more information on what's going on this Saturday, you can go to huntingtonartscouncil.org or sparkboom.org. But I will see you down in Huntington this Saturday between 2 and 6 in the afternoon at 213 Main Street. It's a parking lot, kids. I haven't said I'll meet you in a parking lot in many years, but I'm going to meet you guys in a parking lot, and it's going to be a great, great event there. I will try to avoid being spray painted, but you know, anything can happen. And if any of you push me into the spray paint, you'll have hell to pay or something like that. But yeah, so we'll see you guys. Thank you so much for joining us, guys.
Thank you.
You know what else is going on, kids? It is the birthday of Phil Lynott of Thin Lizzy. So we're going to hear a little Thin Lizzy right about now. Thank you, guys. Hey, man, that was a little Mulatto Estate right here on WUSB Stony Brook. And in a very few moments, we're going to have Brett Sherris on the air with us talking about the all-night pay-to-get-out horror marathon over at the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington. And then right after that, we're going to have David Rovics, activist, singer, songwriter, talking about his... Well, the politics of traveling. Let's talk about it like that. Meanwhile, here's a little something classic from Los Lobos.
Pasando frío, get all tangled up, fall on the floor, go on right now. On a marble stair, trying to find the ocean, looking everywhere. Hard times in the city, in a hard town by the sea. To. There ain't nothing here for free. Look on the corner, waiting for a train. Drunk, lying on the sidewalk, sleeping in the rain. Till the day I die.